So you love tower defense games, and you always wanted to create one, but you don't know how to program. What do you do? Where do you start? Well, today's your lucky day. I'm going to show you how to take a project that we developed for Coding for Fun, an open source tower defense engine, and create your own tower defense game without having to do any programming, just by changing some script and changing the graphics out. So let's get started. The very first thing you want to do is go to scripttd.codeplex.com, and here you can see a couple of screenshots from the demo that comes with the game. This is a Windows Phone 7 game. You can modify this to do whatever it is that you like, and even put it up on Marketplace and sell it for a profit. So, tower defense games, if you've never played them before, are pretty simple. You have a grid, and you have creeps that come out of one entrance, one or more entrances, and they try to make their way to another exit. And you might have one exit, you might have multiple exits. Somewhere along the way, you have to try to stop them by using towers that you place, and you can make a maze for them to go through that kills them before they exit out. In a game, you might have 10 lives, 20 lives, and after that, game over. So, the very first thing you want to do is go ahead and download this. Once you download it, you're going to end up with a directory that you can extract, and I'll show you how to modify that. We'll go through some of the graphics that you'll want to change, and we'll go through changing the game XML. If you go on the scripttd.codeplex.com site, you can also see the developer Michael Quant wrote a little article about how to make a new tower or extend the game to do whatever you want if you're a developer. So the very first thing that you're going to want to do is look at the game directory structure once you've extracted it, and we'll take a look at that here. In there is a directory called codingforfun.scripttd.content. This is the main directory that you're going to work within. There's two directories within there that you'll be spending the bulk of your time in. The very first one is data, and the second one is textures. Let's take a look at textures first. And if I go there, you'll see that there's a directory substructure here that has backgrounds for the game, the buttons that show up for the game, the creeps or the enemies that you're going to be fighting, the hit effects, which are the explosions that happen when you hit a creep, the maps, so these are going to be your map backgrounds, the towers, and the weapons. So let's take a look at these. First of all, we have the backgrounds, and these are the backgrounds that you'll see for different parts of the game. Like, this is the title screen of the game. This is like where you select various levels, and this is what you would use for a message or the defeat screen. And there's just a couple others in here. You'll probably want to customize these to make it your own game, and they're very simple to do. There's also a Photoshop file that you can load. And this has all the different screens. It has the map backgrounds, it has the title screens, and things like that. So you can see exactly how we did this. It's very simple to use, and the very first thing you want to do is probably go in and make your own title screen. Next, after that, we have the buttons. And these are the buttons that you will see throughout the game, like play, high speed play, the sell button, the upgrade button, the next wave button, and things like that. The buttons are generally 55 by 55 pixels, and you can go into the Photoshop file and see how we created the buttons and even change those to be your own look and feel. After that, we've got the creeps. These are the creeps that we have with the demo game, and if you double-click on one, you can see what some of them are. These are actually transparent pings so that they are masked out for just the creeps themselves, very simple to use. So you'll want to make your own set of creeps, and I'll show you how to make as many creeps as you'd like. Next, after that, we've got the help screens, and the help screens are simply a group of slides that have instructions on them, and they play kind of like a photo viewer. So when you're in the game, you can click the right button to go through the next and the previous ones. Next, we have the hit effect, and we've just got one in there, and this is for when a creep gets hit. And these are a set of explosions. These are a set of four explosions that are on one single graphic, and the graphic is divided by four, and they show in succession. So it is the only animated graphic that we have in the game. So next is the maps directory. So here you can see we have 5 map backgrounds. All of these are shown in our Photoshop document, so you can open up the PSD and see how we made these, customize them to be as your own. They're pretty simple backgrounds, and you can make whatever you like, or you can even use like just a color for a background. Next, we have a directory called Towers. These are going to be all the towers that you have in your game. And as you can see here, most of these towers are 35 by 35 pixels, and there's multiple towers shown. Let me try to explain that. If you look at Tower Gun, for example, you'll see this is what a typical gun tower looks like. But as you go through upgrading it, it shows a little dot here, and then it shows a second dot for a second level upgrade, a third level upgrade, and a fourth level upgrade. You can have as many upgrades as you want to a tower, and you can make your towers look radically different. So if you want to have a bigger, badder looking tower because it's been upgraded a few times, feel free to go ahead and do that. Next, we have our weapons. So here you can see the 5 different types of shots that we have that come from towers. In the ScriptTD engine, we have a laser that shoots out as like a laser beam, and this follows the cardinal points north, south, east, and west. It doesn't turn, and in Michael Quant's Coplex article, you can see how to make a laser tower that actually turns to follow the creeps as they come through. Next, we have a missile, and this is for like a guided missile tower. Third, we have a shock tower, so this is like an earthquake weapon, and the shock emanates from around that tower and hurts any of the creeps that are within its range. Next, we have another rocket, which is used from a rocket tower to shoot air enemies, air creeps. And last, we have the typical gunshot, which is just a simple bullet. Any of these can be modified by just replacing the graphics or creating your own, and I'll show you how to do that next. So you can open up this project file in Visual Studio, and you can see all the XML files that you'll want to change to customize this to do your own things for your own game. You can also do testing in here on Windows Phone 7 emulator, or you can even hook up your dev unlocked phone and test on an actual Windows Phone device. So let's start going through these. The first file that I want to show you is maps.xml, and this is going to show you the different maps that you're going to end up having in your game. And it also defines what prerequisites are required to unlock the next level. So here you can see we have the first map, 1.xml, and then we have the second map, 2.xml. And because 1 is a prerequisite of 2, to unlock the second map, you just need to put in prerequisite mission 1. And I'll show you where we define this word mission 1 in 1.xml. The next XML file that you'll want to customize is the one of the creep XMLs, and this is for the flyer fast. So this is the creep that flies through the air. There's both ground-based creeps and there's air creeps. The difference is the ground-based creeps have to go through whatever maze of towers you've created, whereas the flying creeps will just fly right over them. So flyerfast.xml is a typical creep XML file, and because they're all very similar, we're just going to go through this one. So the first thing that you're going to want to do is give this creep a name or an ID, and here we've called it Flyer Fast, and it's best if you name the XML that and just kind of keep that as this is the name that I'm going to define for this so that you can remember it later on easily. The next property that we have is Can Fly. And you'll set that true if it's something that you want to fly through the air, and of course false if you want this creep to only be on the ground. Next, we want to set its speed, and this just determines how fast it's going to try to go through the maze. Sometimes you'll have fast creeps, and those are difficult because they'll go right past your towers very quickly and give you less time to shoot them. Or you might have a lot of slower creeps that have a higher hit point. So next we have the health element. And under health, you'll see here we've set this to 150. This is the base health that a creep will have. And just because you have a low number here, don't worry about that, because as we go on through levels, we can use modifiers to increase how difficult these creeps are to shoot on a given level. Next, we have the worth, and this is how much money you'll get from killing this enemy. You might have your flying enemies be a little bit more difficult to kill than your ground ones, and therefore want to give them a higher worth and use less of them. But this is where you're going to set that. Next, we've got the texture, and this is the image that you'll remember that we saw in the textures directory under enemies. And this just defines what graphic that we're going to use for this creep. Next, we have death sound ID, and this is the sound that this this creep is going to make when it dies, when it explodes. And you can set up different ones for each of your creeps if they're very different. So if you have, like, bunnies, oh, don't shoot bunnies, but if you have bunnies that you want to shoot and have them make a specific sound when they die, then you can just set that here. This is actually just the name of an MP3 or a WAV file that we're using. And you can see under audio, we have a sound effects directory. And right here, so we're using WAV files, and under 29, this is the death sound that we've created. Our sounds were created here in Microsoft's Game Studios. These are the people who brought you Forza and a lot of other good, interesting games. So it's a really nice sound here, and you can feel free to use our sounds if you like, or you can create your own. So next we have a spawn sound, and again, this is just the name of the WAV file that's in that audio directory, in the sound effects directory under audio. And this is the sound that your creep is going to make when it starts coming out of the map. And let's go ahead and just hit play here, and you can get an idea. We'll just kind of play through the game a little bit so you can get a better idea of how this works. So I've got the emulator up here, and as this loads, we'll go ahead and start the game. So let's do new game. And this is going to be our level select. And we can lay this out any way that we like. We can have one map like it's laid out here, or we could have five or six maps laid out that you could go through. I kind of prefer the one map so that you can see a little bit better version of what the map looks like. So we'll go ahead and click on this to load it. Now, first of all, we want to pause this. And this is a function that we've added to the game that's typical in a lot of tower defense games, where you can pause and actually go through and start building without having to worry about creeps coming out. You'll see there's a progress bar for building these towers. And of course, you can set how long or how fast it takes to place a tower. But for our purposes, they're not going to load because we have the game paused. And I'll put a couple more towers here. We'll build a little bit of a maze. Try to kill these creeps. And then we're going to hit play. And if you don't want to wait for a creep to come out, you can hit this next wave button. And it'll actually start sending the creeps out right now. Now, you'll see it takes the progress bar, or the health bar, down from the creeps as they go along. And my maze isn't quite good enough. It doesn't look like I'm... Well, maybe I'm... Am I going to get them all? I'm getting them all. Almost. Almost. So I'm going to drop one more tower in right here. And you can see when I select a tower, I have the upgrade button and the sell button. So I can either upgrade this to a bigger tower, which, again, uses a progress bar to do that. Or I can click to sell this one. The other thing that you'll notice about a tower is, as I play, if I increase the, if I upgrade the tower, you'll see it increases the range of the tower, and I'll show you where we can define that as well. All right, so let's back up out of this. We'll hit the back button here, and go back to our project. So the next thing that we want to show you is the defeat screen, which is just defeat.xml. And this is a screen that will show us what you see when you've been defeated. It'll load the background that we defined. I showed you that defeat screen in the backgrounds directory. And it gives you a text message, you have been defeated. So you can change this to whatever you want. You can align it to the left, you can align it to the right, you can change the size of it, and you can even change the fonts or the color used there. There's a button to continue. So you can set that where, you can continue and go on to another level. But again, defeat.xml, very simple to change. So you can go ahead and customize that to look like whatever you want. And next we have a high score map. And this is going to be the screen that you see that shows all of your high scores. You can see that, again, we have a textures background image that we're defining here, and this is going to be our background. And below that, we have a list of the scores, and you can define how many are shown here. Next is ingame.xml, and this is a pretty significant file because this defines what your game looks like when playing. And if we go back to the CodePlex page, I want to bring up that graphic. So this is a typical game that you would be playing, and ingame.xml actually defines where all these things are on the screen. So this defines what your gameplay screen is going to look like. And the things that we have here are things like the image background, the playscreen.png. And if you look at the play screen, that is this bar that goes across the top of the screen. So this has, like, you know, how much cash you have on hand, your lives, points, what wave you're on. And if we go back here, you can see that on top of that, we have the actual text for those things. So this is the font that's displayed there that is the tag for those. And then after those, we're going to actually place the labels that show up after those. So this is how many lives you have, how many points you have, and what wave you're on. So these come after these titles that show up here. Next we've got circle, which this attribute sets the color of the range circle around your colors. So remember when I was actually playing the game, we saw how far the distance is that you can shoot from the colors, and ours was blue. And you can set what color, both what color that is and how defined it is. So you might want to use a little bit lighter of a shade just to show what range your tower is. Next we have the grid overlay, and this is a grid that you see during gameplay. And some people might not like to use the grid. I prefer to use the grid so that I know exactly where I'm going to be laying towers. But you can also go into options and turn this on or off. The properties that we're going to set in the ingame.xml file, they define what color the grid is, whether it's centered, and the spacing, which in this case we're using 35 pixel squares for our gameplay grid. So next you'll see the code that we're using to display our cash on hand. Again, these are the things that show up after the labels above. And you'll notice something that I've got commented out here, and this is the cost display. So this actually shows you how much it's going to cost to upgrade a tower. And the reason we have this commented out is because in the final stages of preparing the demo, this overlaid over some of the text that we had above, so we just took it out for now. But you can uncomment this and put it wherever you like. We have some buttons here, and these are the buttons that you'll see on the screen. It's very simple to place these. We have an options button that will take you to the options menu, and you can just place that wherever you like. You can see here that we have it right up here in the upper right corner. And so to put that in your project, you'll just define what location that is, and you can even change the size of it to make it a little bit bigger, a little bit smaller. That button actually pulls from the HUD button options.png that we have in our textures button directory, and you can change that to look like whatever it is you want. The next button that we have is force wave, and you'll see here we've got another button commented out that took us to the main menu. We don't use that because we have a hardware back button on Windows Phone, so we don't really need that. But if you want to uncomment this and have a main menu button, you can certainly do that. The next we have is force wave, and this is a button that sends the next wave. If you don't want to wait for a wave to come out, and you're kind of in a hurry, you can just click this button, and it'll just force the next wave to come out immediately. This button is defined from the nextwave2.png button, and this is the image that we have in our textures button directory. We can display a disabled tint, so if the creeps are unable to come out at any given time, so you can't have multiple waves come out at the same time, and that button will be disabled at some point for a little bit, so you can choose what screen you want to use over that button to represent it being disabled. Next, I have two buttons here, and this is kind of a difficult decision that I had. In the gameplay, creeps just come from off the screen. And we did that for the reason that you should be able to have your creeps come from wherever it is that you want them to. And I just didn't want them to have, I just, personally, I didn't want to have the creeps come from just off the screen like they're wandering in from some odd place. I wanted to give people a way to know where they were going to come out from. So I created two buttons that aren't actually buttons, but just overlays that hide the creeps as they come into the screen. And this is the first entrance that I have here. This is the enter button. And then this is the exit button. They're the same button that I just flipped horizontally. And you can have them look like whatever you want. They could be some kind of portal, or they could be some kind of door that your creeps come out of. And because they're a transparent ping, we've got a little bit of shading here. So it kind of casts a shadow on them as they come out from under this. So I've just placed the enter button on the left. I've placed the exit button on the right. I've set these for a size of 70. And so they perform no useful function as far as clicking on them. But as a button, and because it was easy to just place a button in the game, these will actually hide your creeps as they come in and out. So next we have some time controls, and this includes the pause button that you'll use to pause the game, the play button that will actually start the game playing again, and a speed modifying button. And this is just a single button that shows up in one place, and it changes between fast, faster, and fastest. And you can have them be 1, 2, and 3 arrows like we did, or you could have them represent like X1, X2, X3. But these are going to be the speeds that the game plays, so that if you don't want to wait for slow creeps to make it from one side of the map to the other, you can speed your game up a little bit. Next, we have our tower construction buttons, and these are going to be the buttons that show up down on the bottom right of your game. And for some of the earlier maps, you might just want to have one tower show up and not have any of the other towers available. You can define which maps have which towers. But for our purposes here, we're going to define where each of them are. This is going to be the gun tower and its location. This is going to be the rocket tower, missile, laser, and earthquake. So very simple. You can set their visibility. You can set whether they're available or not in the actual maps XML file. So, but this will show where that tower is going to be placed if it is available in a game. So that's the in-game XML file, and next we're going to look at level select. Now, level select is the place that I was talking about earlier in a game, and if I go new game, it's this screen here. And the first thing that you'll see there is the level select background that we're defining. It's a JPEG that's in the textures backgrounds directory. And again, this is going to be a container that shows the different maps that you can select to start a game. So for our purposes here, we're using a single button for each level selection. Now, if I wanted to have multiple levels, let's just show you how I do that. I'll go in here and I'll say level 2. I'm going to change the size. So instead of being a very large image like that, we're going to change this to 25 by 25% for each of these. And this is going to show us two maps that we can select from on each page instead of one. And for my location, let's set this one to, let's put this one up high, and we'll put this one down a little bit lower. And this might be a little off, but we'll give this a try and see what it looks like. So we'll go ahead and run this in the Windows Phone 7 emulator, and we'll take a look at what the level select looks like now. All right, so I'm going to go to New Game. And now you'll see that I have two maps here. Well, there's five maps that are defined in the Maps XML, so you would have to go to the right to select those maps. Now, these are kind of laid out weird, and actually we could have four on a screen. So if you wanted to do that, you could just pop back over here, make level 3, level 4, don't confuse these with the maps. Don't think that you need to have five because you have five maps in your game. You might have 50 maps in your game. This is a template that those other maps are going to flow through. And the game will actually make as many screens as you need to show however many maps you have. So I'm going to undo this just so you remember. And at the bottom of the level select, you'll see that there's a previous button and a next button. And these are the next and previous buttons that you see here. So you can change those to be down in the corners if you prefer. And you can, of course, set those to be whatever graphic you want. So you can create your own arrows. So that's a level select map. Again, very simple to do. So next we're going to talk about the main menu XML. And this is going to be where you define what your main menu looks like on the game. So let's go ahead and take a look at that. In the main menu, you'll see we have new game, resume if you actually had a game in progress, high scores, help, and quit. And if we go to mainmenu.xml, you'll see all of those images and text titles here. First of all, we have the textures background, 1-main.jpg. Under that, we have the templates, and this includes our menu buttons. And we have buttons for resume, if it's available again, and play, high scores, help, and quit. Of course, you can also change what these text buttons look like by coming up here and choosing whether they're aligned to the center, to the left, to the right, their V alignment, and you can even change, you know, the color of them if you want them to be black instead of white. Next up, we have our towermenu.xml. Next up, we have our towermenu.xml file, and this is the menu that you're going to see when you click on a tower. I'm going to go back and start a new mission here and grab a tower and drop it out on the stage and go ahead and select that. Now, let me go ahead and pause. So this is the menu that you're going to see when you have a tower selected. And basically, we have two functions here. We can either upgrade this tower or we can sell it. So in here, you'll see under towermenu.xml that we have the sell button, and we also have its size and its location. And we have its upgrade button, also its location and its size. And you can click either one of those to perform the function sell or upgrade. So the victory screen is going to use our background that's 4-highscores.jpg. So this is our high score background that we use here. And then there's some text that says, you are victorious. And you can have it say whatever you want. You can set the location, the alignment, the size, and the color, and of course the font. So you can do you are victorious. You can have whatever message you want there. And then there's a continue button. All right, and now we're up to an actual map XML file. And we're going to use 1.xml, which is the XML file for just map 1. This is going to be the main place where you're going to spend the bulk of your time if you're making a tower defense game. And the reason is this defines, like, you know, what you can do in the game. You can have it be an on-rails type tower defense game, and that's where you've set up a bunch of obstacles so the creeps go through a specific path, and your background image probably denotes that. Or you can just have it freeform where the creeps come out and they just try to get to the exit in whatever way that they can. But this is also where you go in and tweak the health. So as you keep testing the game and you start playing it, you're going to want to go in and make it a little bit more difficult or a little bit easier depending on how the game's set up. And so this is the actual screen where you're going to do that. So we're going to look at 1.xml here. And this one here, it starts out at the top. You've got the mission name. And you'll see here it says map ID, Miss 01. This gives the map name a defined name, and we saw that earlier when we were working with the files, so this is where you define those. This tells you how much starting cash that you have, $100 in this case. The friendly name that you see here, Mission 1, this is what actually shows up, and we'll back up here and start a new game. This is what shows up here, so Mission 1, this is coming from this friendly name right here. This is where you set the background texture for the map. So map1.jpg is the actual background texture that you're going to see. And let's go ahead and start this one. We'll just pause it here. So this is the background image that we're using for this map. If you scroll over here, you can see how many lives you have. So this is how many creeps can escape before the game is over and you've lost it. We've got focus color, we've got victory sound ID, this is a sound that it plays when you win. We've got defeat sound, that's a sound it plays when you lose, of course. The wave start sound, so you can have like kind of a defining noise that happens every time a wave comes out, so that if you were building a tower on the other side and you didn't notice that creeps are starting to come out, this would be the thing that alerts you. You also have a map start sound, so you could set up some kind of new sound that you have for every one of your maps, and you define that in here. So the first thing that we have here is special cells. Special cells are just kind of the ones that you have to define for like entrances and exits. And you can have multiple entrances and multiple exits. And you define down below, I'll show you that in a minute. Well, actually, you can see it here. So this first wave of creeps comes out, and you tell it, come through the entrance spawn and leave through the exit called exit. And so you can have multiple entrances and exits that you name, and then you can tell, you know, this creep comes in through this entrance, but it goes out through a completely separate exit, you know, and you can have that change on every wave to keep your game interesting. It gives you a lot of different options to set up your game differently. So you have the special cell spawn, the special cell entrance, the special cell exit. There's one other type of special cell that we don't use in our demo, but you can use, and it's called obstacle. And that's what I was talking about, where you might have like a rock in the middle of your map, and you want the creeps to just kind of treat that like it's a tower. It's an area that you're not allowed to place a tower. Because it's like a map element. And usually in your background graphic, you would have some kind of graphic there that says, you know, like, you know, this is a rock or something. The other thing that you could do, too, is on some tower defense games, you'll see that there's like a path, like a road that goes around, and you can tell that that's where the creeps are going to go. So if you wanted to do that, what you could do is you could put a bunch of special cells. You could put obstacle cells in every spot along where the creep entrance is, and just put those around so that they have to follow a specific path as they go around. And I just kind of call that a tower defense game that's on rails, and it just means that, you know, the creeps are going to follow that path. So the obstacle cell, of course, you can place that in here too, and you're just giving it the X and Y coordinates for the cell that you want that to be in. You can have your entrance and exit cells be anywhere, so you can use those in the middle of the map or, you know, any place else if you want, just to make it difficult. And one other thing that you could do, too, is you could have, like, kind of a short wall in the middle of your map with an entrance on one side and an exit on the other, and the creep just tries to get around that wall to the other side. Next, we have allowed towers, and this just tells what towers are going to be allowed on any given map. And in our first map, because this is, you know, the player's first take at playing this game, we just have one tower, and it's a gun tower. And you also defined how many levels it can upgrade, and we'll show you soon here where you actually go to set what those upgrades do to this gun. But for now, we're going to say we're only going to allow the gun tower, and we're going to allow the user to upgrade that to a max level of 3. And if you wanted to have the other towers in there, maybe you just want the gun and the laser, you can certainly put those in there. All right, and so next we've got the waves, and this is where the creeps are actually going to come out. And I've gone through and just put comments here for wave 1, wave 2, and when you're doing play testing, it makes it a little bit easier if you do that to just say, you know, I got to wave 6 and it was just way too hard, and I can write down a little note, and then I come back in here and just look for the comment, and I can go down to 6 and see there. So in the waves, you're saying, okay, on wave 1, this creep, land basic, and that's one of our defined creeps, will come through the entrance spawn, and it'll try to leave through the entrance exit. There will be 10 of those creeps, and there will be 1 second in between each creep as they come out. Of course, you can set this to be whatever you want. And in fact, you can come out here and just say, you know, I want to have, in addition to that creep, I want to have a second row of creeps that come out right after it. And these are going to be land fast creeps. And I want them to come out. I want 100 of them to come flowing out of there, and make it, you know, 10 milliseconds in between so that they're just flying out of the entrance. Of course, that's going to be incredibly difficult, and you're going to have to set the parameters of your guns and things like that to be able to handle that kind of thing. And in the playtesting, you're going to determine just how good or bad that is. But you can do this all that you want. You can have one wave have, you know, 10 different types of creeps come out, and you can set their properties to however you want. So it's all up to whatever type of game you want to make. So as we go along, you'll see that the player is making money as they kill these creeps. You can see we had 10 creeps come out here. They're, you know, a dollar each. You're going to end up with $10. They're going to have probably two more towers, or they're going to upgrade the towers they have. So in Wave 2, we need the creeps to be a little bit more difficult to kill because they're going to have a lot more hardware out on the playfield to shoot these creeps out with. So what we do here is we have this health modifier. And so this just says take the health times 2. And so it uses a default health that is in the creeps XML. So like fly fast, we looked at fly fast or flyer fast XML. So this will take the health. It's got 150 hit points for this. And if we go back into map 1, if that was that creep that we were talking about, it would now have 300 hit points because we've given it a health modifier of 2. It makes it very easy to make the game increasingly difficult. And you can see that I'll leave these at 2 for a while, give the person a chance to upgrade their towers, and then at some point you upgrade it to 3. You can also use, you know, fractions here. You can have it be 2.5, 1.73, whatever it is that you think you need to have the gameplay that you want to have. About every 10 levels or so, I'll kind of do like a boss screen where we have extra creeps that come out in a row like this. Usually you can make them a little bit more difficult. You can see that my health mod goes from 4 to 5, and then, you know, I go back to 1. My flyers are a little difficult to destroy, so I'll lower the health mod back down on the flyers. Because you're really only going to be able to hit them with your middle row of towers. You really have to watch how you set the health mod for that. Sometimes it can be difficult, especially if you don't have towers that you've got set up to hit flying objects. So you just keep putting in as many waves as you want to have, and then when you get done, you close the wave element, and there you have it. So that's a map. The bulk of the time, you can just copy and paste a previous mission, and that'll work fine. And then what you want to do is just go through and keep tweaking the health and the health parameters, and you'll probably want to change the parameters for each of the weapons, too, and the creeps. And between those, you can get a good play balance to make it difficult but not too hard to win. All right, so the last one that we want to talk about here is one of the tower XML files, and we're going to look at the gun.xml file here. The gun is a pretty simple tower type. And so let's look through that here. The first thing that we have is the ID, gun. And you'll see we use that in other places. So it's just a little identifier for you to use so you know what tower you're talking about. And then we've got some properties here. And you'll see it just says level. And then there's another level element here. So we'll have a level with the properties, and then we'll have the next level with the properties, and the next level with the properties. And you can see here that this gun tower has 3 different levels. This is what you see when you upgrade. So when you first place a tower, you have this first level with these properties. When you hit the upgrade button and you pay to upgrade a tower, you have the next level here. So this would be level 2. And you can put comments in here to make it a little bit easier to know which one you're on. And then the next level you can upgrade even further. So let's take a look at this. So first thing that you have is cost, and this is how much this tower costs just to place it on the playfield. So it's $7 to place it there. The time to build in milliseconds, so it takes 3 seconds after you've placed this tower for it to completely build and be available. You can set this to 0 if you want, so that when you drop a tower on the field, it's ready to go and start shooting at creeps. You can put the time to sell. I have that at 0, so if you sell a tower, it's an immediate thing. But you can have where it deconstructs the tower and it takes like, you know, 3-5 seconds for that tower to go away. So there's a technique that people use when they're playing tower defense games where they'll ping pong creeps back and forth. And the way that they do it is they'll set up a maze, and that maze will have, you know, kind of a gutter down below that the creeps could go through. And then when the creeps get all the way through this long maze, you can open up that bottom gutter and place a blocking tower in the maze, and the creeps will have to go back through the maze again and then go out around. Well, what you can do is set your time to sell at a very high level, and it makes the ping ponging a little bit more difficult because, you know, creeps get spread out. They might have some of them getting down through the gutter while others are still in the top part of the maze. So time to sell is something that can make it a little bit more challenging to play the game. But for our purposes, we're going to leave it set to 0. And then we've got the damage, and this is how many hit points it takes away from a creep every time it shoots. So in the level 1 for the gun tower, it is 15 damage, which means you need to hit a creep, you know, 10 times with this thing before it's going to get rid of that creep. The reload time is how long it takes for the gun to reload before it can shoot again, and we've got it set to a second. You can have it, you know, shoot rapid fire like a machine gun, although keep in mind that if you have, you know, 20 towers on the playfield that are shooting rapid fire machine gun, you might have some performance things you want to test first. The next element that you have is minimum range, and this is how close a creep can be where it shoots. One of the things that you might do on a game is have where a gun can't lower, like if you're right up next to a tank, it can't lower its cannon low enough to be able to shoot you. So you might have a close range where when the creeps are very close, if it's like a missile launcher or something like that, to where it won't actually shoot those when it's very close. And then you also set your max range. So this is how far away you can shoot. And in the case of the gun, we've got 3 squares away that it can shoot. The texture is just the texture in the towers directory where you define what this tower is going to look like, what the gun tower will look like. And then we've got the shot texture. Of course, we're going to reference the bullet image that we had in that directory. So next we have shot speed, and in this case we've got it set to 3. Some things like a missile, you might want to be a little bit slower than a gunshot. Or you might want to be a little bit faster. Things to consider here is if a creep moves very fast but your shot speed is a little bit slower, you might not ever catch up with that creep with that shot. So it's a gameplay thing that you want to look at overall and see what things work for the types of towers you have available and the types of creeps that you're shooting. The next thing is can shoot flying. And this means, is this tower going to be able to shoot a creep that's flying through the air? Of course, if you're going to have creeps that fly through the air, you're going to need to have some type of tower that can take those out. So you just set this to true or false, and of course you can have can shoot land. Some missiles, like air-to-air or ground-to-air missiles, you might just want to have where they can only shoot things up in the air. They can't shoot ground things. This will give you the flexibility to choose what types of towers can hit what types of creeps. The next thing that you have here is build sound, and this is the wave file that's going to play after you place a tower and it's constructing. And then you have a sell tower, which, you know, can be like a ka-ching cash register or something like that. And when you go to sell this tower, it just fires off that wave. You also have an upgrade sound ID, and this is the sound that gets played when you upgrade a tower. And you have your shot sound, which is going to be the sound that it makes when it fires. So as you see here, we've got our next level up. So this is like you've clicked the upgrade button, and this is going to be our level 2. You can see the cost might be a little bit higher. So here we have 10 instead of 7. The time to build, you know, it might be a little bit faster to upgrade it as opposed to building a new tower. And then the important thing is the type of damage, how much damage that it causes now. So we want to increment this a little bit to make it be able to shoot a little bit harder, shoot a little bit faster. You can see that we've gone down to 8/10 of a second here instead of 1 second, and we've even increased the range a little bit. So as you upgrade a tower, you can have it shoot a little bit further out. We want to give it a different texture so that you can denote that the gun tower has been upgraded, and you can look at your play field and see which towers have been upgraded or not. We had a very subtle look for our demo files to where it fills in dots as you upgrade your tower, but you can have your towers look extremely different as you go to upgrade. Of course, you can have a different shot texture, so we're still going to keep firing the same bullet. But you can have the bullets look bigger or be a different color or anything like that. And you can set the shot speed, can shoot flying, true and false again. So you can have a tower that might not be able to shoot a flying object when you first place it on the playfield, but as you upgrade it, it becomes available that you can shoot a flying object. And then this is our level 3 upgrade, and again, you can see we've just increased the cost. We have the same 2 seconds to build, and then we want to have a much higher damage, so now it's 30 hit points each time instead of the 15 that we originally had. So that's a gun.xml file, and that's how you you set the properties to upgrade your various towers. You can have as many of these as you want. You can make all kinds of different towers. You can have different looks. You can have different properties for them. And that's how you make a tower defense game without doing any hardcore programming. All these things can be changed in the script, so hence the name ScriptTD, or you can even call it scripted. If you have any questions, you can leave us questions in the comments for this video, or you can leave us questions on scripttd.coplex.com. Thanks for watching.